The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We don't care how you're taking us in. We just appreciate that you are. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer in the hizzy. How you doing, man? Day after July 4th, a weird pocket Friday morning.
Happy 5th of July. Yeah. It never gets enough love, you know? Been saying that for years.
Yeah. How do you think it went down, 5th of July, 1776? You think people were just recovering from the excitement?
Yeah. Good question. Probably the same thing as nowadays. Everybody's just recovering the hangovers and everything. Yeah.
Did you enjoy fireworks last night? Were you watching fireworks?
I think I watched 4 minutes of fireworks before I fell asleep.
Yeah, I heard 4 minutes and then I was out also. Yeah.
Is that a, like, I don't want to say that's us being, like, old, miserable men, but, like, it's just, like, we got to be up early, man. It doesn't get dark out here till like, 10 o'clock now.
It's a school night, as they say.
It's a school night.
School night for us.
I don't know about you. We haven't had this discussion on air yet. It's probably a terrible way to lead the show, but I know in the winter we complain often about how dark it is out here, but I'm getting a little tired of driving up, being blinded by sun in the morning, and then I'm like, I got to go to bed now. Oh wait, the sun's still up outside.
First world problems.
Yes.
Yeah. On the show today, a lot of soccer. Paul Carr will join us. Chris Felica, Copa America, in the quarters, as is Euros 2024 as of this morning. So we got to get into that with both Paul and Chris. Everything else, Chris is betting. Jason Weingart with all his bets as well. And we'll look at some NFL stuff. We've had a good time sort of going through NFL prop bets that are available at DraftKings. Kelly was good to find those first to five bets earlier this week. Today we'll do division exactas, which I'm going to warn you in advance, Kelly. I'm going to ruin a future segment by extending the division 1-2 exactas.
Okay.
I'm just going to point that out. You're going to be like, I was going to do that next week.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
I know, but it's coming. First things first, Wimbledon this morning. Kelly, I am in one of these runs where I cannot win a tiebreaker to save my life.
Ugh.
It is brutal. Today again, in the 0-3 on tiebreakers across three matches, and you know what usually happens after you lose a tiebreaker, you collapse because the mental anguish of it for these players. So I'm just in a brutal, brutal run of this. Trying to get Daria Kasatkina home against Bedosa. She lost the tiebreaker in the first set. On serve in the second. We have futures on Kasatkina. We'll get to the Wimbledon futures. So far have been great. Those are coming up later on the show. The only thing I have left, and I'm warning you, if we get in a tiebreaker, we're going to lose it. Just how it's going right now. I have Denis Shapovalov, but I gave it out at VSiN.com/picks last night, as we do every host, every guest, every sport on the network. For subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. The only one I have left is Denis Shapovalov, but I got him at +115 yesterday, and now he's the slight favorite, so I don't know that I would play it anymore because I would not have played it, quite frankly, at that price.
Yeah, see, -105 at DraftKings.
That's about the best price you'll see on him right now. -105 is like borderline teetering, maybe, against Ben Shelton.
I get to bet against Ben Shelton, though. I might join you with this one.
Denis Shapovalov, who had a great run at Wimbledon a few years back, almost took down Joker. Like, had a really good match against Djokovic. Not almost took down, but was super competitive. And maybe the peak of his career at this point, a career that was so much promise was there, it really hasn't panned out for him. But he's one of these players that on any given day, and Ben Shelton keeps playing these long five setters, and he is. If you do not like Ben Shelton, you hate Ben Shelton.
He's so easy to hate.
Kelly is one of those guys.
He's so easy to hate.
But you
put it well. If you have any reason to dislike him at all, it is very easy to.
Yeah.
I'm sure it works the other way, too, though. If you love him, if you love the way he acts and everything, then you probably love the guy.
He still thinks he's playing college tennis at Florida.
Right.
So that's the problem.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Djokovic did the telephone thing after the previous match he did that to somebody?
No.
When Djokovic beat him, he mocked him with a phone close.
No, I don't know that. Then what did I catch yesterday? There was like Taylor Fritz like trash talk or something?
Taylor Fritz was playing Arthur Rinderknecht. It's not often you get tennis trash talk.
I was like, who's talking trash? Arthur Rinderknecht? What was his name?
I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's spelled Rinderknecht, but it's Rinderknecht probably. So he... After the French Open, I think they played in the French Open, and Taylor Fritz was got a little upset about the French crowd being so supportive of Rinderknecht, which, by the way, you know, you probably should expect that to happen,
right?
Yes, exactly. Like, he's French, and you're playing at the French Open. So the problem was that Rinderknecht then went public with it. He said, well, you know, what about your upcoming match with Taylor Fritz here at Wimbledon? He goes, well, he won't be as whiny as he was back then. So Taylor Fritz, of course, caught wind of those comments, and then when Fritz won, he immediately went up to the net, stared him in the face, and goes, have a nice flight home. And Rinderknecht followed with, I'm not taking a flight home. I have a doubles match. To which Taylor Fritz goes, oh, that's great. Congratulations. So that's tennis trash talk. And then
that's exactly how I would expect tennis trash talk to work. Someone thinks they got a great line, and it's like, oh, wait, never mind. All right, so I'll see you in the locker room. Okay, cool.
The best was after he goes, oh, I still have a doubles match. He goes, oh, congratulations on that. But in the post-match presser, Fritz said, he goes, yeah, as soon as I caught wind of those comments, I go, he's losing. Like, there's no chance he's beating me now. Not that he was going to win anyway. But, yeah, so that's tennis trash talk. Anyway, so Shapovalov is the only play later today. As Kasatkina and Badosa are in a dogfight. I mean, this is a fight at Wimbledon. I have Kasatkina to get to the finals at 22-1, and I have her in a final with Świątek at 100-1. So we'll see.
Yeah,
on serve.
Oh, Shapovalov. That starts in like 15 minutes.
Yes,
I got to get my
Well, bed in. In tennis time, it starts in 15 minutes. We'll see. Buddy Hield, I mentioned this earlier in the week, does end up with the Warriors. It'll sign and trade.
Yep.
What do you think?
Yeah, something that had been kind of rumored here for the past week or so. I think it's interesting, Gil, because I know there's a lot of people out there, probably, you know, if you're a Warriors fan or something, saying, hey, this is really how we're replacing Klay Thompson. Like, I understand it, but it's the financial limitations that all these teams are dealing with is so severe now with this second apron stuff that I think the Golden State Warriors have done a pretty good job.
Pretty good.
You know, like, cobbling together the pieces that they could. And the biggest thing is, okay, look, you're going to roll into the season. Yes, you're going to have Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson and DeAnthony Melton. And the big thing is, like, are those going to work out for the team? Maybe. Maybe not, right, Gil? But all three of those guys are going to be really attractive trade pieces come the trade deadline. So what they paid to get those guys this summer – they might easily get back equal or more come the trade deadline if the Warriors are kind of out of it. All three of those guys will be actively sought after by contending teams.
That's an interesting take on it.
I mean, they are – all three of those guys would be considered great – I would consider them good to great role players on championship-level teams. So if the Warriors aren't there, I think they're going to have – I think that's part of the reason why they did it specifically with those three guys is you're going to be able to have the financial – flexibility then to move them and be able to kind of rebuild, refocus next summer.
Last night, I go to the Aria Sportsbook, watching the Royals play. The Royals are our July bet. Royals lose to the Rays 10-8. Pitching, both teams were just awful last night. Royals lose the series 2-1 to start the month of July. No panic. It's early. It's July 5th, for God's sakes. I had them going 2-1 in that series, so we're a game behind the projection. But anyway, I'm watching that, and simultaneous with that, Argentina is playing Ecuador in the first of the Copa America quarterfinals. And this inspired a list of mine, the top three people you hate at a sportsbook. Because
okay, like this.
This is just, I don't know what it is. This is inspired by my number two choice, which honestly probably might get to number one on my list one day, but I have to just sort of concede the traditional number one. So the number three worst person at a sportsbook. Number three worst person. By the way, Argentina won it on penalty kicks. They go straight from regulation to penalty kicks at Copa America. They don't play extra time. Ecuador tied it.
Really?
Ecuador tied it in extra time, almost won it in extra time. Tied it in added time, almost won it in added time, and then lost on penalty kicks. So number three, this has nothing to do with that. The number three position is guy at Sportsbook. It's always a guy. Guy at Sportsbook who wants the entire Sportsbook to know all of his sports opinions. This is colloquially known as the Wishnev. Todd, I'm right here. I'm sitting right next to you. That guy over there does not have to know your WNBA opinions.
Right,
that's
yeah.
the third worst
okay,
person
I like
in the Sportsbook.
This. I like this.
Number two is what inspired this list from last night. The person who has to, he or she has to let you know that they are from the city of the team they're rooting for or the country of the team they're rooting for. And it means so much to them to let you know that that is the case. For some reason, this annoys me more than anything. Because I don't know if they have a bet at all on it, but they need you to know. Like, if you're watching a, I don't know, pick a game, a Houston Rockets game, that they are from the soil of Houston, Texas, to let you know that they're part of this team. No, you're not. You're not part of the team. You're just someone from Houston, and you just happen to live there. So the Argentine contingent last night, I was sitting next to a lady from Ecuador, and at one point, you know, there was a VAR on the Ecuador tying goal, and she was like, "I falta?" And I'm like, "No, I falta. Goal," right? So it's like the only exchange we had, but the Argentine saw me talking to the Ecuadorian girl. Oh, that, so I was the enemy from that point forward.
Oh, boy.
So during the PKs, when they were happening, by the way, Messi missed the first one, and they still ended up winning. It's like the roller coaster of talking schmack, and we're just sitting, I'm like, dude, I could care less. I'm watching a Royals game. I'm not sure if you're familiar with what that is. So that's the number two annoying most person in the sports league. Number one still remains traditional, but I will say number two is catching up to this. Number one is the person who's betting $20 who screams louder than anybody.
Oh,
the rest
yeah.
of sports.
So I guess the way I would describe that one, because that's on my list as well. It's I don't even really care how much you're betting. It's the guy who's going that crazy in the first half or whatever of whatever
that
full
also.
Game bet he has.
Yes.
And you're like, all right, can you like calm down?
Pace
like,
yourself.
Yeah. Like I'm actually okay with you getting excited about a bet, but like, can it be close to cashing at least before you get that excited? I've got a couple. I got a couple others.
Yeah.
I have an addition to the one you had last night.
It was just, I'm just like, dude, we get it. You're from Argentina.
Yeah.
We get it. Coming back with Paul Carr. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though, for a limited time. Get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. Normally $240 a year, you can subscribe now for just $199 with promo code ANG. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Do not miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. Visit vsin.com/subscribe right now and use promo code ANG.
ANG as in a numbers game.
That's 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. Get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. That's vsin.com/subscribe. The only reason I chuckled in the middle of that promo read is Kelly and I often complain that the music is too loud here at Bar Canada, the D from which we broadcast every morning. This morning, they're playing a huge joke on us because apparently we have loud... Is this the pan flute? What is this?
This is totally pan flute. I don't know what game we're playing over there, but
what's happening here?
We've often complained about the pterodactyl in whatever slot machine game is on the bar top. I apologize, pterodactyl. That is not nearly the worst game up there, apparently.
So, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the dulcet tones of a numbers game this morning with pan flute behind us. Okay, I just want to before we get on to the NFL stuff. I just want to follow up on what we were talking about with that list yesterday, that little brief list of most annoying person in the sports book. The number two one, right? The person from the city or the person from the country who
Shapovalov.
There you go. Who just has to let you know they are from that city and from that. Like, it's their raison d'etre. Their reason for being to let you know this, right? I'm trying to pinpoint why that's so annoying.
Okay, so I think I have a sort of explanation for you.
Yeah.
That I've been able to piece together through the years.
Is it just that it's so dumb?
No. Okay, well, first let's start with the casinos themselves, just how the casinos are built. If you're in Vegas, you will often notice that there's not, if you're a sports fan, you're in Vegas, maybe you're not really a bettor, right? Like, this would apply to my father. My father brings this up all the time. There's not really, like, sports bars in many, like, in these casinos because they want you to be in a place where you're going to gamble. So a lot of times, one of the very few options or the only option to watch sports is the sports book. So maybe some people that you would get, you know, hanging out at a, I don't know, a Buffalo Wild Wings watching games or something, where people you probably wouldn't normally associate with are now invading your sports book because it's the only place that they can catch the Pittsburgh Pirates that night.
That's a good explanation.
While they're in town.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. But then, yeah, I don't know the other side of it. I do think there's a little bit of a mental flex thing, like I've got to stick up for my team or something.
It's just a weird thing because they then will often refer to players on their team by first name.
Okay.
Remember the Astros March-April thing when I was talking about the Orlando Magic girl that was there?
Yeah.
And she was she's like, come on, Paulo. Come on, Paulo. Come on,
and I hate
Jared.
That. We're down 20. Like, we're down 20 right now. Like, really? You're part of the team? What position do you play?
I didn't know that. I don't know what it is about that. All right. Kelly has come up with another NFL prop set from DraftKings and DraftKings app. They have got tons of these. This one is something that has come out for several years now. It's exactas. We talked about that in Major League Baseball with Paul Spohr. Those are still available at books. Major League Baseball division exactas we're referring to. And so we have them for all eight divisions in the NFL. Let's start with the AFC. And Kelly, here's where I said earlier, this is where I might ruin a future segment because they also offer the whole straight flush of 1, 2, 3, 4 per division.
So we have so it's there's three really. So the ones that we're going to be looking at are the dual forecast where they can finish first or second, right? But then there is – so the odds we're going to have up are either to finish first or second. It doesn't matter where you finish.
Oh, so you've just got top two.
You
no
just
got
to finish top two. Those two teams have to finish top two. Doesn't matter the order.
Gotcha.
But then DraftKings also has the market of 1-2 exact, and then they have the market of 1-2-3-4 exact. So
which they call exact order.
Which I think you're leading into a good point I was going to bring up anyways, that I would compare, depending on how you're looking at a certain division, you need to think, is this the best bet, or maybe it's in that second market or the third market?
I think we have to think of all three of these in tandem, in other words, right? As a group of three, I should say. So you have the 1-2 either order. All right, shall we throw up some AFCs? And this is, we'll give an example and show you what I mean. Because if you have a defined opinion of who the third and fourth teams are going to be, I'll just take the AFC North as a starting division, right? Because that might be maybe the best division in football from top to bottom. But a lot of people, I would think, consensus, sorry, Cleveland Browns fans, what I'm about to say, but a lot of folks got Pittsburgh at fourth, right? Especially given their schedule. And a lot of people think that this is the Ravens or the Bengals at the top, and that the Browns will just find themselves in between those top two teams and the Steelers. Not an indictment of the Browns, but it's just how the cookie crumbles in the AFC North. Now, whether that happens or not, who knows? But that's a consensus opinion. So for a division like that, I almost think you're better off. Nice job, Daria Kasatkina, pushing a third set, by the way.
And the odds for those, so for the dual forecast, right?
Yes.
So to finish just 1-2, Ravens-Bengals is plus 125.
Yeah.
Ravens-Browns plus 350. Bengals-Browns plus 475. Ravens-Steelers plus 475. Don't ask me how that could possibly be the same price. Bengals-Steelers plus 650 and Browns-Steelers 13-1.
Okay, so let's compare these through these markets. So Ravens-Bengals in either order, if you believe that. If you don't believe the Browns can torpedo those two, maybe you do. But let's just go with that thinking, and then you can apply it to the division of your choice. Ravens-Bengals either order is plus 125. 1-2 exact. Ravens first, Bengals second, plus 320. Bengals first, Ravens second is 4-1. And then the exact order of the entire division, Kelly, Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Steelers, 6-1. Bengals, Ravens, Browns, Steelers, 8-1. So you have all of those four bets. If you go into the season with that notion of those four teams, just to use that division as one example, then you have all those bets to choose from. And for me in that division, because I think so lowly of Pittsburgh and so highly of both Baltimore and Cincinnati despite schedules, Cleveland just by default ends up third for me. No indictment of the team. So I would probably – the problem is we'll be Ravens or Bengals first, right? That's the rub for me. Because you'd hate to lose it that way. Right?
That's where you get this dual forecast where this could maybe be the best bet. But you just brought it up because I'm I am very much, like you're just saying, Bengals, Ravens, 1-2, but I mean, I have a Bengals bet to win the division.
I do too.
Like you do.
Yeah.
Would I be shocked, though, if the Ravens win it?
You'd never be shocked if the Ravens win.
No, but you just brought up a good point. The exact order, I think you get a better price.
Well, that's what I mean. So, I mean, this is where it gets very interesting. So we just gave the prices for all of those differences in that division. Of the AFC divisions, which is the 1-2-3-4, or 1-2? Let's just go, let's go to the AFC East. Do you have any idea who ends up with? Like, to me, the AFC East is super murky. I don't know if it's Bills, Dolphins, Jets. I don't know. So I would not bet any of these in that division.
I'm with you.
Personally.
I like the Bills, I think, more than everybody else, but I would not bet anything.
I kind of feel that way about the AFC South. I actually think the Jaguars end up winning the division, but if Houston did, I wouldn't be shocked. And the Colts are in that mix. The only thing I know for sure is that the Titans are going to finish fourth. At least I think I know for sure. The West, now that becomes more interesting like the North to me. Do you believe it's Kansas City 1, Los Angeles Chargers 2, Raiders 3, he says cautiously, Broncos 4? If you believe that, you should play the exact order in that division.
See, I wouldn't play the exact order, but I'd play the 1-2 exact.
Okay.
Because I'd go Chiefs, Chargers.
Exact order I just mentioned is only plus 350.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and if I switch the Broncos and Raiders, it's only plus 475. So that's why I think the ones that I quoted in the AFC North is actually the better way to go.
So Chiefs, Chargers, 1-2. Chiefs, 1. Chargers, 2 is plus 175.
I'd probably be more inclined to bet that in that division.
Me too.
What is 1-2 either way? It's probably like even money.
Minus 125.
Yeah, that's gonna say.
Minus 125.
Yeah. Still, that sounds to me, I mean, do you want to hold your money for a whole year at minus 125? It's not the sexiest thing in the world, but I think you probably win that bet, barring an injury.
But
you could have an injury, so what's the point of doing it?
The biggest warning with these type of markets is
all injuries.
Is you're parlaying basically two NFL teams to make it that far. So like when we talk about injuries during the course of a regular season, like this is the entirety of a season with not one team, two teams.
Well, look at the NFC coming up because I think these are interesting. Would I be as quick to bet these as we were the drive to fives? No. But I do think if I had these available, I think I would take that exact order, one in the AFC North. I think I'd probably make that bet and see what happened for the year.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because you can bet both of them. Bengals one, Bengals, right. Ravens, Ravens, Bengals.
Those are interesting. We'll look at the NFC coming up in a bit. Paul Carr, this I promise, will be on the other side. Quarterfinals have already started in Copa America. Argentina barely through. And man, right after this show today, Euros 2024, two great matches. That's on the other side. Coming up, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game, live from Maracanada, the barrage at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Hope you had a good 4th of July. Hope you had a safe, fun 4th of July. 248 years old. You already making your plans for the 250?
No.
No.
Haven't started yet.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. I got back what I thought I'd get.
July 4th is one of those holidays. Man, I love July 4th, but doing what we do.
Oh, yeah, I can't do it. It's not.
I mean, my first July 4th off, I think, was in my career, was in year one or year two of VEASAN when I started at VEASAN. So, like, it was like the first 14 years of my career.
I don't mind.
I had worked July 4th.
I like coming in July 4th because there's baseball all day and there's other sports going on. Like, I mean, I have no issue with it.
This also used to, like, I'm, like, kind of complaining about that. This was when I was, like, making the schedule for my department. Yeah. So I'd be like, all right, guys, I'm going to work July 4th, but Thanksgiving, I'm not here. See ya.
I'm trying to think. Even Thanksgiving, right, because there's football and we do a show in the morning right before football, I don't mind that so much.
It's not that bad, but I do. I'm a sucker for Thanksgiving.
Like, I am too.
I love the family and food aspect of it.
Christmas, I don't celebrate, so if I'm here, which I am always, I don't have a problem working that, but as a network, we've decided not to have shows on Christmas morning. So, but if someone has to, I would, right, and have. So I don't know that
didn't
there's
we
a,
work Christmas last year?
I think we might have.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a at New Year's Day has all college football. I don't really care about coming in that day. The only thing that was ever an issue was the Jewish holidays on the high holidays. My dad used to be like, "What do you mean? What kind of person are you working on this day?" So I would have to deal with that. But other than that, I don't know. Holidays don't bother me like that. We get tweets. We get texts at Biddy the Book. This is a tweet from James Sadi. He goes, how many goals does Lukaku have again? Paul taking a beating on that one. Sorry, Paul. We're still efforting Paul Carr, yes, on this. John Massey, thoughts on this? The Atlanta Braves have not won a game when the opponent scores 4+ since April 17th. They haven't won a game when the opponent has scored 4+. Is that true? A game the Braves won 5-4 back on April 17th. That's unbelievable. I believe you, John Massey, but that's incredible. The Braves are, I'll tell you what I do know, the Yankees, who are 5-14 in their last 19 games, the New York Yankees, worst record in baseball over their last 19, 5-14. They are 6 games clear of a postseason berth. In other words, they're 6 games clear of being on the outside looking in. The Atlanta Braves are 5 games clear of being on the outside looking in. That's it as we approach the All-Star break. Kelly, I'm old enough to remember when the Yankees and Braves were good. That's how old I am.
I'm looking up this Braves thing right now. This is incredible.
And a lot of response to just my stupid little list about most annoying guy in the sports book. Steve Fezzik texted, cousin of the one I said. He goes, my number one annoying guy, and it's always a guy, says, guy who's so invested in his home team rooting for them to win that his entire weekend will be ruined if his Chicago Blackhawks lose one hockey game. He has the emotional intelligence of a 12-year-old. This is from LS.
It is that, too. I am far more forgiving.
That's what it is.
If it's a college football Saturday or an NFL Sunday and you're in town and you got to watch your team, I'm okay with that. But, like, when you're catching one hockey game or one baseball game out of the entirety of the regular season schedule, like, come on.
I've met my buddies for Skins games in Vegas when I didn't used to live here. But it's not like we made it a point to let everybody know, yeah, we're from D.C. You should know that. Like, what was that? Who cares?
But even football, I'm still more forgiving because there's less games. Every one of those is more important.
LFC title records. I'm heading to Vegas tomorrow to watch the Copa quarterfinal game. Is there anything I should be aware of besides, one, record-breaking heat, two, airplane tires possibly bursting upon landing, and three, being in Vegas a week before the sushi spot is released? It's actually a few weeks before it's released. Bet Bash, not here yet.
That Braves stat is dead-on accurate.
I think you covered it, LFC title records. Dead-on accurate. That's amazing. And this is from GV, New York.
Dead-on balls accurate.
Is that what you said?
Just to continue from, what was it, from yesterday, right?
What was that about?
When we were kicking around my cousin Vinny.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Utes. What is this, Utes? GV, New Jersey, New York. Few entries to that list you were saying, Gil. The guy who acts way cockier than he should. The guy trying to get a TV switch. Oh, yeah. The guy trying to get a TV switch to something literally no one else is watching for his $20 bet. And guy with a million parlays rooting for everything, none of which seems correlated when examined. That's right. All of that is good.
Those are all good ones. Yeah. Those are all good ones.
Let's go to the NFC with these exactas. Again, this is DraftKings offers 1-2 in each division in any order. 1-2 exacta, first and second exactly. And then the exact order, they call it, 1-2-3-4. So we just talked briefly about the AFC divisions and landed sort of on AFC North exact order. What is the division in the NFC that would apply? Let's talk about the NFC East. Do most people, would you say, believe that it will be Philly, Dallas, Washington, and the Giants? I think most people probably believe that.
Yes. I think most people.
You know how that goes, right? But if we look at that, the number for that exact is 4-1. That's all you're getting for that. 4-1. Would you take the Philly, Dallas top two in that order? Philly, Dallas top two in that order is 5-1. By the way, Dallas, Philly is -130. What did I miss there? They have Dallas, Philly 1-2 at -130. They have Philly, Dallas. Oh, no, pardon me.
That's for either way.
No. Oh, you're right. Pardon
me. It's +185 Eagles, Cowboys, and then Cowboys, Eagles is +310.
There you go. I was looking at the wrong one. Dallas, Philly is -130 in any order.
So this is one.
Would you play the -130 again? It's like -130 for the whole year. Someone gets hurt. I wouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
No. I think the Eagles are going to win the division. This is one where I'd rather just sit on an Eagles division bet.
NFC North.
I mean, you're getting a better price. I mean, it's a better price than minus 130. Obviously, Eagles have to win. Cowboys can't win. But
how about this? For NFC North, I don't know if there's an exact order because some people think Detroit will beat Green Bay. Some people think Green Bay will beat Detroit. But it's largely considered Lions, Packers are the top two. Bears, Vikings, and whatever order are the bottom three. So the odds to finish top two in division, you can get the Lions and Packers plus 160 in any order.
Okay, this one intrigues me.
That's pretty interesting.
This is one that I'd probably bet.
Yeah, I think of all the top twos in any orders right now, that's the best one so far.
And I feel like I'm not as high on the Packers as everybody else. Like, everybody expects Jordan Love to beat Tom Brady next year, I feel like. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm completely there yet.
But don't you think the...
But I'm also not as high on the Lions as I feel like. I think they're both very good teams. I don't think they're neither one is the best team in the NFC, or I think they come in at best third.
I'll go one further. I mean, I think Caleb Williams is in a fantastic situation, but everything you hear, like, people are like acting like they're going to be so amazing.
It's incredible.
Year one, I'm like, he's still a rookie quarterback. Yeah. Like, let's slow down on that. So that Lions-Packers plus 160 in any order, maybe.
Of all the ones we've looked at, that's the one I would be closest to betting, yes.
Of the
top two, any order.
Any order, I agree with you.
The one I'm interested, getting back to your Bears point, I mean, I bet the under on that win total. At some point here, because I don't think they're up yet, but like whenever they post like the wins match bets, you know, between two, like Vikings-Bears is going to be an interesting price to me. Because I'm like you're talking about, there is this, I feel like this overwhelming sentiment that the Bears are going to be this you know, fringe playoff team, or if not playoff team.
Me too.
I don't know.
That's what I'm referring to.
I don't think there's as big of a separation between the Bears and Vikings as much as what people are making out to be.
That's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting at. It's not that I don't think he's in a great situation, Caleb Williams. It's not that I don't think he's going to be good. I'm not in the Merrill Hodge, he's nothing special camp yet, anyway. But, yes, I just think those two at the top. How about NFC South, largely considered the worst division from top to bottom? Falcons, most people consider the de facto number one no matter what, with apologies to the Bucks and the Saints. Panthers, most people consider fourth, but I don't know that I would want to pick the order of 1, 2, and 3 there, because I don't know if it's going to be the Bucs or the Saints, even if I could see the Falcons are 1 and the Panthers are 4. So I want no part of that division.
Yeah, this would be a and I never bet it. I don't know why. Just double checking. Falcons? Like, this is Falcons division to me. I think the Bucs and Saints are both overrated heading into the season.
How about the NFC West, though? Most people would consider it Niners, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals.
Yes.
Maybe, I think, from what I'm just anecdotally hearing this offseason. Niners, Rams, could the Seahawks mess this up?
Yes, I think they could.
Would you take a flyer on the straight exact order that I just talked about, though, in that division? So if I go...
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's the thing. If I bet this, I would bet the whole thing. For the NFC West, Niners, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals. It's only 5-1, though. That's why the AFC. So here's the conclusion.
I'd go exact Niners, Seahawks, 1-2 at plus 425.
Oh, that's way better. My favorite exact order is the AFC North, but I also like the top two in the NFC North the best. +160.
That's my favorite of these. Dual forecast the NFC North.
I would agree. All of these and more at DraftKings. We'll effort some soccer on the other side next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams, with win total projections for every single one of them, new quarterback, new head coach breakdown, Super Bowl predictions, prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts. That includes MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a season better, just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to a smarter, more informed season of bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide. That's GUIDE to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. We do promise you soccer with Paul Carr and Chris Velika coming up in the next hour. Paul was in a meeting he couldn't get out of, and Kelly, you appropriately said, who calls a meeting on the morning after the 4th of July? We're like West Coast time. You're in the 7 a.m. hour.
I mean, we have a regularly scheduled show.
Yeah,
no complaints here
from us.
But in the corporate world?
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the 9 o'clock hour Central time. Let's keep that in mind for Paul. But still, you're calling a 9:30 a.m. Central time meeting on July 5th?
Boss of the year.
Boss of the year.
Hey, we went 45 minutes without congratulating Lou Finicaro and everybody who tailed Lou yesterday. We were talking about the hot dog eating challenge, which, by the way, was easily won by our girl Miki Sudo, who won her 10th of these yesterday. But on the men's side, it was pretty competitive, the non-Joey Chestnut version of this. And I mentioned that Lou had texted during the show, and he's like, Matteo Bertoletti, Lou, who is Italian, his reasoning was that Bertoletti was coming out of retirement because Chestnut wasn't around, so he's focused on this. He's obviously trained, and I believe Lou's quote was, and Italians can chow down, unquote. Bertoletti. Plus 750?
Patrick Bertoletti.
Oh, Patrick? What did I call him? Matteo Bertoletti? Matteo Berrettini. Matteo. By the way, Matteo Brownettini is the co-host of The Handle here at
that's right.
At Beeson.
That's right.
Congratulations.
I thought it was a great call by Lou, though. That made a lot of sense.
It did make a lot of sense.
When Joey Chestnut's been dominating for so many years, probably should have sent a signal flare up to us all when guys are coming out of retirement to compete again. Probably a good reason why.
That's one of those where if we weren't doing a show and I had heard it, I'd have been like, oh, that sounds right. I'm going to do it. But like you're doing a show, so you don't think about it. But he won it pretty handily in the end.
That's another one we were talking about, I think, on a break yesterday. Why do they put these things so early?
Oh, the hot dog eating?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the women are like at 10:30 a.m. on the East Coast.
Well, I guess you don't want to like not eat all day. It's got to be something to that, right? Just get it out of the way early.
I don't know.
You see, there was a chugging contest also.
I did see that. Yes, I did see that.
And the one dude, even though what's the announcer?
Badland Booker.
Yeah, he was like a wave machine, just chugging.
Eric Booker. Yeah, that was I saw more. I watched more of that video than actual the hot dog eating contest yesterday because the chugging of the lemonade just went down so quickly. It was very impressive.
Very impressive.
I don't even know if anybody else was halfway done. Like I think
they were barely halfway done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was like watching the. I was actually more shocked by how many guys were struggling. Like, did you watch that at all? They're like, there'd be like, I took like two sips and had to put the thing down. I'm like, haven't you been training for this?
What do you think would be easier for you? Like the hot dog, eating or the drinking? I'm not sure which is easier.
I was thinking about this I was kind of thinking about this yesterday. I'd probably go eating. And I was wondering, when I was watching some of these guys struggle with the lemonade, I was wondering, lemonade is tricky, right? Because you never know what kind of lemonade you're going to get.
Right, and I'm just...
You know what I mean as far as like sweet sourness levels? Like, sometimes you get that real bitter lemonade. Sometimes you get really sweet lemonade.
By the way, I haven't tried, but how I think of if I tried it, that I would, with the hot dogs, I absolutely would hit a wall and that would be the end of me.
Yeah.
But I think I could last longer eating, right? Like, I could still sustain. Whereas I think the chugging thing, I think I would just start choking and coughing and that would be the end of me. Early on.
I've had more practice chugging. So, like, I would think I would be better at that, but I don't know.
Carlos Alcaraz is in kind of trouble here with Big T.
Let's go.
Francis Tiafoe. Tiafoe won the first set. Carlitos won the second. And now Tiafoe, 3 points away, up a break from winning the third. Remember, it's best of five. So I did not see that coming, that Tiafoe would push Carlitos to this extent. So that's happening right now. As far as... I'm in another tiebreaker, Kelly, with Nakashima. What could go wrong?
Oh boy!
Against Humbert,
you're on quite a run. Tiafoe, a DMV guy, right?
He is a DMV guy. He grew up in College Park, Maryland, where the University of Maryland was, and played on tennis courts there because his dad was a custodian who working there.
That's right. You've told me this.
Yeah.
So him and Durant are pretty good friends, right?
Are they?
I think so.
DMV guys. DMV guys.
Or I've seen them like twice in pictures together at some DMV event. Like,
right.
Oh, they're friends. They're
the annoying guys in the sports book. They're watching a Wizards game and they're screaming at people. As far as the Wimbledon futures that we have, though, That's the bright side. They're all intact, at least as of this moment, because Daria Kasatkina and Paola Badosa are on serve in the third in what has just been an amazing match. Have Iga to win on the women's side. Iga, by the way, through two rounds. She looks good. The thing with Iga, her serve looks outstanding. When people think of Iga, the first thing that comes to mind isn't her serve. Her serve has been fantastic in her wins here early on in rounds one and two. She beats Petra Martic yesterday in straight sets. So she's headed into a third round match, which she should be the favorite in once again. However, looming in the round of 16, if she's to get through round three, would be her kryptonite. And what I mean by that is Iga Swiatek is 500 or better against everyone else on the women's tour except for one person. And that person, she's 0-4 against lifetime, and that is Yelena Ostapenko. So, all good so far. Iga, still about the same price I got her at to win it all. Because Coco's still there. Elena Rybakina is still alive. But that's the looming specter of Yelena Ostapenko coming up, not this coming round, but the following round. So far, so good anyway. Iga's still alive. I have, again, Iga Sinner parlay, Iga Carlitos parlay as well. And added last weekend, as I mentioned, once Aryna Sabalenka said, hey, my shoulder stinks. I may not, you know, doubt that she would be able to go. And then, in fact, I made those bets. Kasatkina to reach the final. You really got to, at that point, really take advantage of that half of the bracket. Daria Kasatkina to reach the final at 22-1. Swiatek versus Kasatkina in the final at 100-1. Swiatek versus Madison Keys, who's still alive, at 40-1. So everything's still intact. But again, Kasatkina in a dogfight here with Paola Badosa. So we'll see how this goes. But so far, so good
on
that end.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the men's side here in a sec. I do think that, is this a good example of, because I've brought this up once or twice with like Djokovic, like when I've gone to bet him, is Iga this time around, and it's just, it's all draw dependent, I would say. But there's a couple, like some of these tennis tournaments, like I'll get involved with, but like later in the tournament, because the odds won't move. When the favorites, right, like they kind of roll easily through the first few rounds.
Nor should they move.
Before they get through it to any actual competition, nor should they move. But like it, sometimes I'll get involved later just to take away that like 0.5% chance of like, you know, them getting with a crazy upset or an injury or whatever. And I don't know, it's something I always keep in the back of my mind. I don't know how you think about that. But
Carlitos breaks back, by the way. Because, of course, he does.
Well, that's where I got caught off in the first set because he did the Tiafoe out of the ropes in the first set, and then Carlitos had like four aces in a row. And
Well, Tiafoe won the first set, but now they're back on serve in the third set apiece. So on the men's side, nothing has really changed. By the way, Kasatkina with a break point here. This is huge. nothing has really changed on the men's side because Alcaraz, obviously going right now against Tiafoe, Sinner. No, some people say he had an issue with Berrettini. To a degree. Djokovic just rolling. And that's, as long as the big three are alive, and I mentioned a couple others, and I said I didn't bet these, but if you were looking to bet something other than those three on the men's side, a couple of the names I mentioned are in, a couple are out. Tommy Paul, easy peasy, still going. Alex de Minaur plays. He's still in it. But Jack Draper got beat. Jack Draper got beat by Cam Norrie yesterday. Cam Norrie with better grass numbers than Draper even. So a lot of people's favorites, sort of favorite long shot, Draper is out. And I believe Orkatz is out as well, right? Did I?
Yes.
Did I say, Orkatz is out as well. It was one, Arthur Fields knocked him out. So that's been a break for Kasatkina. Can we hold two serves? Is that too much to ask? I think it might be.
So how does the bracket break down? So would Alcaraz and Sinner meet in the semis?
Alcaraz and Sinner would meet in the semis. Djokovic and Zverev. Okay. Sasha Zverev. So if all the top seeds get there, would meet in the semis.
The one I was going to ask you about with Djokovic, does this feel like kind of like hedge pricing by the books on Djokovic just not knowing his full health?
Yeah, but I think he's answered those health questions.
Really?
I do. Like, I've seen it so many times where, like, oh, you completely destroyed your knee? Oh, look, you're playing great. Like, I just don't, I'm not falling for that.
I might be involved in 4-1 then.
Oh, knight you. Yannick Sinner's still the guy to beat. But you're right. That would be his half of the bracket. Not a terrible bet. Come on, Daria. Get it done. Felica on the other side. Soccer. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.